Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We are extremely blessed to have Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us today. Now, you know, many of our listeners are Christian conservatives, and I know from some of the conversations we've had that you don't like what you see happening in the nation right now. And, you know, you hear all these statistics about X percent of women don't like or do like Donald Trump and all that. But Senator Marsha Blackburn has authored a book called The Mind of a Conservative Woman, Seeking the Best for Family and Country. And it challenges women to improve their place in life and open doors for themselves and the next generation through the courage of their convictions. And Senator Blackburn expounds upon why beliefs labeled as traditional really have a common ground and can improve all of society. Now, she was the first woman ever elected to the United States Senate from the great state of Tennessee. And before she was elected as a senator, she represented Tennessee's 7th District in the United States Congress for 16 years and served as a state senator for 4 years before that. And I just thank you for joining us today, Senator Blackburn. I do appreciate your time and talking about your great book.
Oh, thank you. We are absolutely delighted and appreciate the opportunity to join you and your viewers and to talk about the mind of a conservative woman, because this one of the things we have found, and you know, one of the reasons for writing the book was because I would talk to women who are conservatives and they're serving in the public space at the local, state, or federal level. And one of the things they would say is, you know, we're treated terribly by the media. And that's correct. The mainstream media looks at women who are pro-life, pro-family, pro-faith, pro-business, pro-military, and they say, you don't have a voice in our opinion. And your opinion doesn't count. Yeah. And they shun them, push them to the side, ridicule and mock them for their faith and their family-based beliefs. And so I dedicate the book to those women who have raised their hand and are serving in elective and appointed office. Likewise, when I would be speaking to women's groups, and so many times speaking to women of faith and different groups, what they would say is, you know, I'm not political. I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm pretty much an independent. I look at issues. I look at candidates. I make up my decision. And I don't talk a lot about it to my coworkers. I kind of keep my thoughts to myself. Mm-hmm. And I would say, okay, talk to me about what you use as a filter to make those decisions. Mm. Oh, well, I believe in the Constitution. I want somebody who's a constitutionalist. I want somebody that believes in equal treatment and justice under the law, that respects the rule of law, because we're a nation of laws. I want government out of my way. I don't want them in my business. I don't want them making decisions for my kids and my family and my health care. And, you know, I want opportunity. I'm big on opportunity. And I want my children to have their ability to live their version of the American dream. So they would say something like that, which, you know, that would say to me, that is a center right. Yeah. It is a conservative Christian view. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this as a landing spot for women who say, I need to be able to defend my beliefs, but I'm not exactly sure how to articulate that. So the book has a twofold purpose, and I tell you, we are so excited with how well it's doing. And, you know, I say everything's in God's timing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And yeah. I wrote this book in 2019, and then Hachette has published it and is bringing it to the marketplace, Hachette and Worthy. And it is just perfect for this debate that we see out there right now, and the focus that is on how women, suburban women, evangelical women, are going to be the decision makers in this election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't something that you just put together a month or so ago. This book had to have been started and drafted and edited and all the stuff that goes into publication well before everything we see happening in the news right now. But as you said, God's timing is always perfect because it's needful right now. Amen. Now, when you first started writing this, one of the things that stood out to me when I was going through your book was your personal mission statement. You know, when I started this ministry, I was able to get ours down to four words: get the word out. And that's it. And every decision we make is based upon how everything we do relates to that mission statement. When you created your own personal mission statement, and you got it down to five powerful words, could you share those with our listeners?
I will, and I'm a sales and marketing person, so I fully believe that everyone should have their elevator speech. Mm-hmm. But I realized that 3 minutes was a little bit long, and I kept distilling it down. So I said, I am a happy warrior, and every day I get up ready to go fight for five things: to preserve our faith, family, freedom, hope, and opportunity. And if you get those right, a lot of the policy decisions that get wrapped up into the busyness of our daily life and into the 24-hour news cycle, if you are focused on preserving faith, family, freedom, hope, and opportunity, that is something that is going to serve you well. Amen. And it is going to be a great foundation for other decisions. And in the book, I tell the story about how years ago, my friends Daryl and Stevie Waltrip, who had been in church with us and in a Sunday school class that my husband and I were helping to lead, and they've been great friends for a long time. For my birthday one year, they decided to give me a racing suit that was Barbie doll pink. And on that racing suit, along with the names of my family, they had emblazoned that five-word mission statement. Mm. And at that point, I realized people were beginning to associate those five foundational items with my work as a public servant to represent them.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You got to wear that pink jumpsuit. Driving suit in public. You just have to.
I did. I wore it. Daryl and I did a commercial during my Senate campaign, and I wore it for that.
Amen. Amen. You have a saying: give back more than you take, leave things better than you found them. When did you realize this saying applied to you and that it would inspire other people?
Well, this is one of those mantras from my family from growing up. Mm. And I had the wonderful honor of growing up in a Christian home with very dedicated Christian parents, and grew up in the church, in the Southern Baptist Church in Mississippi. And we were very much involved in giving back more than you take. That was important. It was important as we worked on missions and projects and serving our community. Leave things in better shape than you found it. That is something we felt like was important for our citizenship, for our community, and it applied to everything from making that weekly offering to picking up trash on the side of the road. You improved things. You gave back more. You left things in better shape. And then as I became an adult, I realized the importance of that, not just as a task that we as children would perform, but as a concept for a larger world view, that for not only our community, but our state, our nation, our world, every time you have an interaction, every time you touch an activity, there is an opportunity for you to do that. Amen. And to do it well, and to send a message through that, that a part of your soul says to you, help others, improve the world around you. And I just think that is such an important message for everyone to grasp onto. Likewise, there's a phrase in the book that I use, mundane to magnificent. Mm-hmm. And I think this is important for us as Christians. Many times we feel like we're mired in these mundane tasks, and we are teaching a Sunday school class, or we're chairing a committee at church, and it's laborious, and we think, what good is this going to do? But in God's timing, He uses the experiences from those mundane tasks coupled with our abilities and our hopes and desires to help us achieve something magnificent within His will. And it is important for us to realize that it is His plans, not our plans. So dutifully, we do these tasks, and then we're ready when God opens a door and says, here is an opportunity for you.
Yeah, amen. And you know what you just said reminded me of a story I heard back in the early 1900s, back when, before the automobiles were really popular, and you know, evangelists would just go travel town to town, set up big tent meetings at the edge of town, and put everything in his horse and buggy and go off to the next town. And this evangelist, no-name evangelist, went to this one Midwestern town, set up his tent, preached his heart out for 7 nights in a row. Nobody came forward to receive Jesus as their Savior. Until the very last night, one little 7-year-old boy walked down the aisle, and he was writing in his journal, you know, well, this was a waste of an entire week. Is it just one little boy named Billy Sunday is all that got born again this week? And look at what happened from mundane to magnificent. You know, just
that's
as you
right.
Said, you know, you have no idea whose heart you're going to touch with your quote-unquote mundane activities that will take it and do something with it. So that was awesome. That was awesome. You describe, accurately I might add, the primary differences between liberals, libertarians, and conservatives. Would you share that with our audience?
I will, and I actually do a full chapter in the book called The Stepford Wives of Liberalism.
That's awesome.
And I named it accordingly because so many times you will hear the liberal talking heads and liberal members of the House and Senate. They use the exact same word, the exact same phrasing, and the same inflections in how they say things. And it is so interesting when a montage is put together. And you see this coming from 12 or 15 different people within the span of 7 or 8 hours. And you know that they have their talking points from the Democratic National Committee. So liberals are institutionalist, and they feel like government should have all the control. Government should take all of your decisions. I even go into that ridiculous story of the life of Julia that the Obama campaign had put out in 2008, and how Julia needed no parents, no church, no community, no husband, no nothing. She had the federal government, and it took care of her needs. And that bent, that push toward government control is where we see the Democratic Party. Now, libertarians don't want any government. They would prefer for the government just not to be there and not to interfere. And some libertarians will say, yeah, I think there needs to be a monetary standard. I think there needs to be the military, but you know, the other things can go away. Republicans believe in the rule of law. They believe that government is there to protect your God-given rights and to preserve those rights to you as we, as a nation, work toward a more perfect union, a union that is we the people, that is a government of the people and by the people. So those are the different constructs that are there.
Amen. Amen. I love the example that you explain about sometimes you have to view yourself as a caucus of one. Can you explain what that means and how it relates not only to you, but to believers in general today?
Absolutely. And I do it because it does relate so perfectly to Christian conservatives that are in the public sphere, and not just in public service, but have some type of ministry or awareness within the public sphere. And I wrap this lesson around what I experienced when I was in the state Senate in Tennessee, and I was leading the fight against a state income tax. And your viewers who are Tennesseans or live in one of our border states probably remember the fierce battle that took place over a four-year period of time when we had a Republican governor who was working with the elites of each party and trying to put in place a state income tax, which we had never had, and still to this day, we do not have a state income tax in Tennessee because I led that fight against it. But during this time, one of my colleagues was giving an interview and was trying to disparage me and disparage the idea of staying state income tax free. And he said, well, Marcia is a caucus of one. Nobody listens to her and nobody is supporting her. Now, he was speaking about the leadership of both parties in the state Senate. And at first, it really hurt my feelings. And then I thought about it and I said, hey, wait a minute. Yes, I may be a caucus of one within the confines of the state Senate, but I'm a caucus of one with thousands of Tennesseans standing with me. And, you know, we see that if you go back in and you look at Scripture and you look at how God uses non-traditional leaders to save his people. Look at Deborah. Look at Esther. Look at the David and Goliath story. And you see how God many times pulled out that one to help send that message to the many and to save his people, or to achieve a goal, or to send a lesson, or to make that point, or teach that parable.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. And when I read that, I was like, oh, this is good. Caucus of one. That just, I mean, that's powerful. It really is.
Many times it speaks to people that are men and women of faith. Mm-hmm. And they're working every day in their job, and they're working in an environment where they're hearing conversation that tilts left or tilts against the teachings that they hold very dear. And, you know, this is one of the reasons for writing this book. Amen. And helping people to use it as a guidebook to refer back to. How do you have these conversations with coworkers, family, friend, so that they remain civil conversations, so that you can say, we're probably going to disagree, but let's talk about this.
Amen.
And let's have respectful, robust debate, because that has served freedom's cause and our nation very, very well.
Yeah, amen. I couldn't agree more. And your book's available on Amazon, correct?
It is available at all major retailers, either in the bookstores or online.
Amen. Amen. Well, Senator, it's been a privilege and a blessing to talk with you today. Folks, you need to get a copy of this book by Senator Marcia Blackburn, The Mind of a Conservative Woman Seeking the Best for Family and Country. One of the links is down below. Take it to Amazon. Go into your major book retailer. Get it. It is awesome. I've read it, and it is so inspiring. I mean, every chapter is so inspiring.
It's intended to be inspiring. And I think whether it's getting that history of conservatism, and I go back into our Judeo-Christian ethic and the founding of conservatism, looking at the lessons of the 12 tribes of Israel, which is how we get our concepts of federalism, and Jerusalem and Athens and London and Philadelphia, and then coming to modern day conservatism through the writings of de Tocqueville and Edmund Burke and William F. Buckley and Russell Kirk, and then bringing it through Reagan and Margaret Thatcher to today, and using that to be the shoulders on which we stand.
Amen. I love the stories about Margaret Thatcher in there too. That was really yes. good. You don't hear very much about her today. So she was
That's
awesome.
Correct.
Yeah, amen. Yes. Folks, you know Christmas is coming, and it's right
That's
around
right.
the corner. Go buy a few of these books. Pass them out as gifts to encourage other Christian conservative women out there as well. Guys, buy one for your wife. Go down in the show notes, click the link, go to Amazon, go to your major retailer. Senator, thank you for coming on the program today, and I pray nothing but blessings upon you. You serve not just the people of Tennessee, but Americans all over the United States, and blessings upon your book as well. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Senator Marsha Blackburn and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.